Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, and we're coming to you from Chesapeake, Virginia. So glad that you're joining us today. We are looking at the Monday recap of what happened over the weekend at Hickory Ridge Community Church, and we've been going through a series at our church, and it's called Soul Detox. And this has been a great series for us as a church as we look at different subjects each week of areas that we need to really detox in our lives. So we've got a lot out of this message so far, and we've got a lot out of this series. And I want to begin with the theme verse that we've had for our church for 2020, and that's Romans 15:13. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I chose this as our theme verse for this year, and the reason I did is several months ago I was doing a service at Indian Creek Correctional Center, and one of the men got up, and as is the custom on our Sunday morning services, we always have a time of prayer, and then one of the offenders will pick out a scripture, and he'll read it to the congregation. Well, one Sunday, my chaplain assistant read this verse, Romans 15:13. And I said, man, I love that verse. And I says, that's what we need. We need some hope. And I never knew when we picked that verse out toward the end of last year that we'd be facing what we are facing this year with this terrible pandemic and this coronavirus that has been hanging around. And so I thank the Lord that He has given us hope. And that little phrase, God of hope, this is the only place in Scripture in which it is found. What a powerful phrase that is. Now, we know that God is all hope, and God provides hope, and He gives it to us. But here we see that He is God of hope. And that little phrase is such an interesting phrase. And as I look at this verse, I discover that when you have hope, it's never by itself. It always has something else with it. And in this case, we see that this hope, if you're filled with it, gives you joy and peace as you trust in Him. So there's a byproduct to hope, and that is joy and peace. So if you're listening to this broadcast and you say, man, I'm very hopeful, but I'm not very joyful, I want to challenge you on that. If you say that I'm hopeful, but I don't have peace, I want to challenge you on that as well. Because when you have hope, part of that is that I have joy because God's going to work out my circumstances, and I'm at peace because He's in control. Now, when you think about what we're talking about today, we're talking about this whole subject of fear and why we are so fearful. Somebody said a good definition of fear is the acrostics for fear, false evidence appearing real. There was once a criminal who had committed a crime. I guess you could say because that's what criminals do. Anyway, he was given an opportunity to go before the king, and the king looked at what had happened, and the king made a sentence, and the king told him that he had a choice of one of two punishments. He could be hung by a rope, or he could take what was behind a big, dark, scary, mysterious iron door. Well, the criminal quickly decided on the rope. At the noose time when it was being slipped over his neck, he turned to the king and he asked, by the way, just out of curiosity, what's behind that door? The king laughed and said, you know, it's funny. I offer everyone the same choice, and nearly everyone picks the rope. So said the criminal, tell me, what's behind the door? I mean, obviously, I won't tell anybody. He said, pointing to the noose around his neck. The king paused and answered, freedom. But it seems most people are afraid of the unknown, and that they immediately take the rope. You think about life, and I think many times we have this fear of the unknown. As a matter of fact, xenophobia is derived from the Greek word xenos, meaning foreigner or stranger. It's a phobia, which means that we have this morbid fear of people we don't know, strangers. And as you look at this fear, it's really an irrational fear, but it's a fear that many people battle. There's another fear that some people had, and it's called decidophobia. You just can't trust the unknown future, and you don't know what to decide, so you decide not to do anything because you're fearful of making a decision because I may make the wrong decision. You know, there are many fears that we face, and when you look at what the Bible says about fear, there are over 130 passages of Scripture that talk about fear not, worry not, be anxious not. And those kind of three emotions go together. But here are the top 10 human fears, beginning at number 10, losing my freedom. Number 9, the unknown. Number 8, pain. Number 7, disappointment. Number 6, misery. Number 5, loneliness. Number 4, ridicule. Number 3, rejection. Number 2, death. And then number 1, the most common fear is failure. You know, there are 530 different phobias that we can encounter. These are phobias that are actually been diagnosed and are actually phobias that people struggle with. I mean, here's some of the more common phobias. This is one of my phobias here, claustrophobia. That's fear of being constricted or confined in small places. Some people have aerophobia. That is a fear of flying. Some people have the fear of spiders. Some people have a driving phobia. That is, they have that fear to get into a car and drive. Some people have this fear of vomiting, and that's called emetophobia. In other words, I don't want to admit anything out of my body. Some people have this fear of blushing. Some people have the fear that they're going to become ill. That would be called a hypochondriac. Some people are fearful of animals. They call that zoophobia. Some people are fearful of heights, acrophobia. Some are fearful of blood or injections, and they would call that bilphobia. Some people have this fear of escalators. Some people have fear of tunnels. They call that tunnel phobia. Along with these phobias, there are many things that scare us as Americans. You know, the number one thing that scares Americans? Number one is snakes. Number two is public speaking. Number three is heights. Number four is my fear, being enclosed in spaces. Number five, spiders. Number six, needles or getting shots. Number seven, mice. Number eight, flying on an airplane. Number nine, this one surprised me as the number one things that Americans are afraid of, and it's dogs. Number 10, thunder and lightning. Number 11, going to the doctor. Number 12, dark. You know, they did an interview of 1,200 senior citizens, and they asked them, what was the purpose of life? And along with that question, they also asked them, what was their greatest regret? Do you know, after they studied these 1,200 seniors, they found that they had a sincere regret in their lives. They said this, I wish I hadn't spent so much of my life worrying. You see, fear is a basic human emotion. One study found that we make 95% of our decisions based upon emotions. God said over 140 times not to fear, not to be anxious, not to worry. Somebody put it this way, and I thought this was real good. When fear comes knocking at your door, send faith to answer it, because the opposite of fear is faith. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on this subject of why do we fear? Well, I think the first reason that we fear is because we were actually raised and taught to fear. But there's an antidote to that, and 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Why? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made perfect in love. So some people have this irrational fear of being punished, and so because of that, they learn this fear syndrome. Somebody suffering from a condition can expect to experience a high amount of anxiety just thinking about being punished. You know, Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin, they made that choice to choose the wrong thing. They could have chosen not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but when they made that choice, they learned a brand new emotion. That is fear. So they went and they hid themselves. And fear has caused us to hide ever since. I mean, you think about it. You're taught how to fear. You remember when you were growing up and maybe your mom said this to you? My mom said this to me often. She would say, Calvin, put on your coat. If you don't put your coat on, you're going to catch pneumonia. And I used to think in the back of my head, why does she have to go to pneumonia? I mean, why couldn't I just catch a common cold first, but she has to go right to pneumonia if I don't have a jacket on in the wintertime? She was instilling fear in me. Now, that's a good thing that she was trying to do. She was trying to make me responsible and put on a coat when it's cold outside because she knew the consequences of not being prepared for the cold, and she didn't want me getting sick. But we are taught fear as a child. Number two, we fear also because we experience terrifying things. I want you to think about what is the most terrifying event that you've ever experienced. I had two terrifying events. One was I was in a very serious car accident, and I fell asleep driving, and as I fell asleep driving, I went up and over a rail, the guardrail, went down a 150-foot embankment, rolled my car over numerous times, and I woke up at the Sturdy Memorial Hospital in Attleboro, Massachusetts, and I was terrified. I woke up, I was on a respirator, and back then I was young and naive, and I said, uh-oh, this is a death ticket for me. And I thought for sure I was going to be a vegetable the rest of my life. And so I cried out to the Lord, and I basically said, Lord, you get me out of this mess, and I will serve you forever. Well, thankfully, the Lord did deliver me from that accident, but he was so gracious to me. But you know, for about a year after that, I was afraid to get behind the wheel of a car. I had another accident that happened to me when I was 15 years old, and I was struck by lightning at a youth camp up in Maine, of all places. And I remember that event, and I think the lightning struck the chair that I was sitting in, and my heart stopped for 3 minutes. The lifeguard came in, did CPR on me, resuscitated me, and I spent a night at the Maine Medical Center monitoring my heart, and thank the Lord, there was no damage done from that electrical shock to my system, and God just blessed me and spared me through that time. But you know, after that happened, for a short time, I was afraid of thunderstorms and lightning, and every time we'd have one of those summer storms come rushing through, I would be petrified. So what do you fear in your life? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of being killed by a bolt of lightning? What helped me with that is realizing that the odds of being struck by lightning are only 1 in 2.3 million. That's the odds of you getting struck by lightning. And I figure since I've already been struck once, my odds must be even higher than that. And so when I think about being afraid to drive, I force myself to get back into the vehicle and drive. And now that fear is gone. You know, it helped me with my prayer life when I experienced these terrifying events. But you know, the Bible talks a lot about how we can overcome these fears. Maybe somebody has rejected you and now you fear being without friends. Maybe you feel like you cannot meet the approval of your parents because they had high expectations of you. But look what Proverbs 3 says, verse 24. When you lay down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lay down and you will sleep, and your sleep will be sweet. Isn't that awesome? When you lay down and you trust the Lord, do not be afraid of sudden terror, it says in Proverbs 3:24, nor the trouble from the wicked when it comes. Verse 26 is the reason. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, he'll keep you from getting trapped into whatever you're afraid of. So trust him. Well, there's a third reason that we are fearful. We've experienced terrifying events. We were taught to fear. And number three, we are terrible sinners. Now, I know this is a tough subject to kind of broach as we think about how bad we are. Nobody wants to really think about how bad we are. But in Isaiah 64:6, it says, we are infested and we are impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags, like autumn leaves. We wither and we fall, and our sins just sweep us away like the wind. Now, that's a real encouraging verse, isn't it? You know, sin causes us to be fearful, and then fear causes us to be sinful. Our greatest fear should not be a failure. Our greatest fear should be succeeding at something in life that really doesn't matter. Now, that's what Francis Chan says. You know, in Romans chapter 8, we have an antidote for the fact that we are terrible sinners. We are terrible sinners, but we have a tremendous Savior that we can gather and support from him. Romans 8:38 says, Paul is speaking. He says, I'm convinced that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything present, nor anything in the future, nor powers, nor depth, nor height, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What a great promise that is. Yes, we are terrible sinners, but we have a tremendous Savior, and he says that nothing is going to separate us from the love that he has for us. Well, there's one other reason why I think that we are so embattled with fear is because we have trust issues. Yeah, we're terrible sinners, and we were taught fear. We've experienced terrible things, but we also have trust issues. We trust the wrong thing. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And then verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Trust in the Lord forever. Do not be fearful. Trust him. Don't get hung up on rumors. Don't get hung up on half-truths. Don't believe everything that you see on the Facebook or everything that you read about on the internet. Everything that you hear is not true. As a matter of fact, I was reading an article called Facebook Rumors, and it was striking fear in the folks in Baltimore, Maryland. You see, rumors were spreading through social media, and these rumors were that there was problems with people being abducted in Baltimore. And on Facebook, it was reported that it was a person in a white van, kind of like those white vans that construction workers use. As a matter of fact, the Baltimore mayor said on the local TV, in a local interview, he says, "Don't park near a white van. Make sure you keep your cell phone with you at all times in case somebody tries to abduct you. But stay away from white vans." When he was asked where that source of intelligence came from, he admitted that it had not come from law enforcement, but he said it was all over Facebook. Meanwhile, a spokesman says that the Baltimore Police Department is aware of the post, but had received no actual reports involving white vans. Similar unsubstantiated claims had been sparked, and a widespread fear of white vans was sweeping across the country. A Detroit handyman was arrested and harassed because he was driving a white van. He became exasperated by all the attention that he was receiving, and he says, "It's not me. It's not me that is abducting people." As part of their efforts to combat this misinformation, Facebook partners with a third party called Lead Stories to fact-check popular stories, found out that it was needing some clarification about vans, and these vans had external locks, and that was one of the things they identified. Stay away from white vans, especially ones that have those external locks, and they discovered that it was really on the contrary. These individuals were not involved in abducting people. These individuals were men who were on construction jobs and involved in construction, and their tools and equipment kept getting stolen from the back of their vans. So they put these heavy-duty locks on the back of their vans so people wouldn't steal them. Well, thinking about this whole situation, you can see how it can be so easy for us to be confused and trust the wrong thing. Finally, the police in Newnan, Georgia made a simple plea. If you do see white vans or somebody acting suspiciously, please don't post it on Facebook. Just call the police. I thought that was really good advice. You see, we have trust issues, and when we're trusting the wrong thing, we will be driven by fear. Well, let's look at some reasons why we should not be afraid. Well, number one, there is a promise to claim. When you think about God and His Word, He has given us over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. In Numbers chapter 21, we see that the Lord is appearing to Moses and says to Moses, "Fear not." It says, "I've delivered into your hand all these people into this new land." And he says, "Don't be afraid of the Ammonites. Don't be afraid to dwell there in Heshbon." And here we see God is moving through the nation of Israel. And Moses is needing some help. And so he needs some deliverance from God. And so he asks for deliverance. And God gives him deliverance. You know, early in Numbers chapter 21, we see that the people of Israel were being blessed with so many victories. They just came and they had won a battle after battle after battle, and the Lord was bringing them victory. And so now they became prideful, and now they're starting to turn against Moses. So Moses cries out to the Lord. And so this is what God does. God says, "You know what, I'm tired of them complaining." You know, I think in God's understanding, and one of the things that really gets on the nerves of God is people complaining. Well, the nation of Israel were complaining bitterly against Moses. God had blessed them tremendously, but they kept on complaining. So much like many of us, aren't we a bunch of complainers? Finally, God says, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to release some snakes out there. And those snakes, those poisonous snakes, are going to bite the children of Israel. They're going to die. They're going to cry out to you, Moses, and when they cry out to you, they're going to get their heart right. They're going to change the direction of their lives. And this is what I want you to do, Moses. When they begin crying out to you in repentance, I want you to create a bronze serpent, and I want you to hold it up high and say, 'Those who look shall live.'" And as you look at that, they had their lives turned around based upon the promise that God had given them. You see, when you think about God and His promises, over 3,000 of them, the very first promise that God gave us in the Bible is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is talking about the serpent and the woman, Satan and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So here we see that the heel is going to be bruised to the serpent, but we see that the head is going to be taken care of. We see this was fulfilled in Galatians chapter 4 and Luke chapter 2. Also in Revelation 12, 5, that was fulfilled. There's another promise that is given to us in the Bible. The first promise, Genesis 3:15, that God is going to conquer the evil one. The last promise of the Bible is found in Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, I love this now, he says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come quickly. The best is yet to come. This is the word that we have for the word Maranatha. The Lord is coming. In other words, the decisive blow that was struck at Calvary to that serpent, to Satan, one day Satan's time and his limited freedom is going to be over. In Revelation 20:10, it says that the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire and he will be tormented day and night forever. You see, there are so many promises that we can claim. Do you battle anxiety? Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake us. He says, don't be anxious about anything. You know, there's so many promises that we can claim. Every time I face a different matter of fear, I find a promise that I can claim. Well, number two, there's also not only a promise, but there's a purpose to experience. When we're going through fearful times, God says, this is a teaching time. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is going to be with you. He's not going to fail you. He is not going to forsake you. I want you to know that God wants to be glorified in you and through you, even at those times of fear. You see, fear tends to thrive in the unknown, but fear dies with the known. Seek to live by being driven by love, not fear. You see, love expands us, fear contracts us. A life mainly guided by fear is a small life, shrunken down. It's a very poor substitute for what could be. I understand most of us can't completely avoid all experiences of fear, but in order to deal with it properly, we need to have its purpose or know its purpose. And here's the surprise. The purpose of fear is to make us act. It's not to make us freeze. It's not to have that deer in the headlight looks. As we have fear in our lives, it causes us to action. It makes us do something. It causes us to move on ahead. You see, the purpose of fear is to motivate us to action. Not to just avoid certain things, but to cause us to be prepared and to take action. So God has a purpose for allowing fear to come into our lives. Thirdly, there's also a provision to discover. We've talked about the fact that God gives us 3,500 promises. God has a purpose for the fear that we have in our lives, and that is to drive us to action. But there's also a provision. Numbers 14:9 says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, let me set the context of Numbers chapter 14. Moses is getting ready to lead the people into the promised land. He's right out to the edge of the border, and the people are fearful. They don't want to go in. Moses reminds them of a promise that God gave them. Listen, their area of fear was going to be their provision. They were going to go into the land of Canaan. They were going to defeat the Canaanites. And when they got there, they're going to be living in cities they didn't have to build. They were going to eat crops that they didn't have to plant. God was going to take care of this matter of fear, and God was going to provide through that fear. You see, sometimes the source of our fears can be the source of our provision. Eleanor Roosevelt said this, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by the experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I live through this terror. I can make it through the next thing that comes along. You see, courage is resistance to that fear. It is mastery of that fear. It is not the absence of fear. Well, there's one more lesson that we can learn here in overcoming fear, and that is there is a promise, there's a purpose, there's a provision, and there is a person to trust. Isaiah 41:10. I noticed on Steve's Facebook post this morning that he had this verse. He says, fear not, for I'm with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. You see, as you look at this, we see comfort in the fact that Christ is with us. He is there every step of the way. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hey, would you trust the fearless one, Jesus, today? We learn from 2 Timothy 1:7 that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Are you feeling anxious today? You know, the anxious heart will weigh down a man, but a kind word will cheer him up. I want you to know that you don't have to be discouraged. You can be strong. You don't have to be afraid. God is going to come to your rescue. I give you a challenge this week. Don't be fearful. Instead, be faithful. When fear comes knocking at your door, send faith out there. Forsake all, trust Him. So Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to be together. Bless this broadcast. Bless those who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.